Let's talk about cup prices for Las Vegas, and we'll also talk about truck prices and an optimal lineup with some projections. I know you want to hear about the cup because the cup has $100,000 on the line, and that probably is where you're buying the spreadsheets. But I like the truck series. It's more winnable. So I will talk about the truck series. I'm fascinated by it. But first, we'll talk about cup prices at Las Vegas. You got Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Brett Keselowski, Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr., all above $10,000. And Harvick and Kyle Busch are 11.9 and higher. Keselowski, 11.4 and higher. Those are some really high prices. We did not, I guess towards the end of the season, we started to see Busch and Harvick pulling these major high numbers at points. But that was when Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch were absolutely running away with the intermediate track races and the short track races every single week. They were gobbling up or hogging the fast lap points and the laps led points, and it was almost a sure thing every time. Fast forward to 2019, we are seeing similar prices with Harvick and Busch again, and now Keselowski and Logano are squeezing in. Martin Truex Jr. at $10,100, that's a relatively affordable price, and is nothing really outrageous for fantasy NASCAR at DraftKings. But Harvick, Busch, Keselowski, and even Logano, those are some pretty steep prices. Those are some pretty steep prices for normal, run-of-the-mill, intermediate track races in 2017 and 2019, or 2017 and 2018. But in 2019, in this new package with a lot of unknowns, those are some really high prices to pay for a guy where you don't know what could happen. And there's also, that's a high price to pay for what possibly could happen. If this thing turns into an Iraq, then we're all doomed. But if it turns into IROC, then that's too much money. We're going to see drafting. We're going to see fast laps throughout the field, and we will see plenty of lead changes. Now, not necessarily lead changes where people are passing the leader, but if you watched the race last week, even without the aeroduct, I finally have figured out how to say it. If you just say aeroduct, it's easier than to say the ducks. If I just say ducks without the adjective beforehand, then it all goes to hell. Be throwing the aeroduct, and man, I'm rolling. Anyway, without the aeroducts last week, and it was a pretty tame race, but it was crazy on restarts where you're going to see people who maybe should have the lead lose the lead on a restart. We also saw people lose the lead through pit cycling, as I predicted, and that was without the aeroduct. Clean air is still going to be king, and the guy that leads laps may still run fast laps. We don't know. Last week, the guy that led laps, that's my alarm. I hit it snooze, too, unfortunately, so that's going to go off in 9 minutes unless I can do something about that. That's my alarm to tell me that truck practice is at 5 o'clock today. I need to make sure I get that truck lap-by-lap data. I'm now going to forget about that alarm. Maybe I'll remember. Anyway, where was I? That'll throw you off. So at the non-aeroduct tracks, yeah, you're going to see the guys that lead laps also running the fast laps. But what we could see with these aeroducts, and we've talked about this relentlessly ad nauseum this winter, is that with the aeroducts, we could get the suck-up, IROC, slingshot, fast laps coming throughout the field. And that's what we saw when we looked at the fast lap data released. We didn't get to see all of the data, but at the Las Vegas test, from what we witnessed, it seemed to me that we are going to get fast laps throughout the field. And the lap leader is not going to be guaranteed the fast lap points like we got last week. So fast laps, I'm not sure that we can't write them off. And we've already had a couple podcasts where we've talked about that. The top 10 cars are probably going to be the drivers that run the fast laps in the draft, in the package. They may be running in fourth or fifth place, but through a draft, they're running the fast laps. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the cars in fourth and fifth drafting versus the cars in 22nd and 23rd drafting, well, it's more than likely going to go to the 4th and 5th place car, or really the 5th place trailing car, which let's say it's Martin Truex Jr., he's going to get the fast lap at that point. It's not likely that the cars in the very back are going to get the draft and run the fastest lap. More than likely, we are going to be able to narrow down the cars in the top 10 that are going to run fast laps and draft around with each other, and they're going to end up with enough hog scraps or more that they're going to end up in and off the lineup. But I don't believe that we're going to see, and I don't know for sure, if we're going to see the lap leader also accumulate fast laps like we witnessed last week. We don't know. And that's the point. 12,500 for Kevin Harvick. Where, well, one thing we do know is that, yes, the lap leader is going to be hard to pass. And we saw that in various different stages and various different moments in the race where Ryan Blaney's got the lead. He's not going to lose the lead. But he did, because he made a mistake. Joey Logano's got the lead. He's not going to lose. But he did. Eric Almirola's got the lead. He goes into a pit. Comes out. He gets beat on a restart. Doesn't have the best pit stop either, because Kyle Larson got the number one stall. Kevin Harvick finally gets the lead. He's not going to lose. He actually, I believe, lost the lead through passing. No, he may have lost it through pit stops as well. Brad Keselowski at the end, he wasn't going to lose the lead. You're not going to pass the leader. But the way that the race works, I easily see the lead cycling around to different people through pit cycles and through pit strategy and through stages. It's going to take a really strong Herculean effort to look. Leading the laps is the easy part, but leading the laps after the cautions, leading the laps through the pit cycles, leading the laps through the stages, that's going to be where the challenge is. You're going to lose the lead there. And so in the past, and we talked about this before in my one of my podcasts, that in the past, you know, Kevin Harvick would lose the lead occasionally. It would happen. But it was a foregone conclusion that he would just get the lead back because he had the fastest car. It was only a matter of time. That's not the case anymore. Once you lose the lead, it's gone. There's no guarantee. Look at Kyle Larson last week. He had the lead. He lost the lead. It was over. I'm sorry. You're not getting it back. It's not happening in this racing package, and it may not really happen at all. It could happen in the Aeroduct package. It might have a better chance of it, but it's going to be very difficult. In the past, you picked a guy knowing he can lead laps, and if he faces some adversity over the course of the run, he's going to get back out, or over the course of a race, he's going to get back out front. That no longer exists. Last week, you saw one guy leads, he's gone. One guy leads, he's gone. One guy leads, who's next? Who wants the lead? Take the lead. No one ever went back and said, I want the lead again. I get the lead again, because you can't really do that in this package. The only way you get the lead again is if you go up there and you get a great pit stop. When you look at Kyle Busch, raced his way from the back to the front. Very fast race car. A ton of fast laps for a guy who was in dirty air the whole time. Still, he was unable to wrestle the lead away from anyone. Kyle Busch in the past, Kyle Busch in the old package, takes the lead from someone and leads laps and stays in control. And if he forfeits it again, if he's got a strong race car, he goes back up there and battles and takes it again. And he had a strong race car, and he actually had the skill to run at that track. And he'll have the skill to run at this track this week. But the package does not necessarily allow them to do that. And if you're going to spend $12,000, that's just a tough sell, unless you're going to get some place differential points on top of that. I don't know if you can roster a Harvick or a Busch or Keselowski. You really have to reset your mind frame. You need guys at that price to lead several runs. And what we're seeing are single runs. Last week, you're probably yelling at your radio or your podcasting device saying, but Brad Keselowski was an expensive driver, and he was optimal. Brad Keselowski started near 20th. Joey Logano started near 20th. Now, that could happen again in this package. There's no guarantee with qualifying. People could start in the back because they're still figuring out qualifying. And, oh, guess what? Qualifying is going to be an absolute mess this week. Last week at the track where tire wear mattered, and really people just wanted to get their one single lap in and get back down because they knew if they were going to advance through the stages, it was going to be about tire management. This week, no tire wear. You can go out there and run three or four laps. You don't have to worry about a warm-up lap. And last week, they were immediately on the throttle trying to get up to speed as fast as they possibly could because they knew that every square foot was one square foot less of tire use. Doesn't matter this week. You don't have that tire wear. You can run two or three laps. You can run a get-up-to-speed lap. And we are going to see drafting in qualifying. We may see a wreck. And if we don't see a wreck, we're definitely going to see people. We already have seen it, where people that should have been in round two didn't make it out of round one. It's going to happen. And that's probably going to force a hand in where if you get Kevin Harvick starting first or second or third, I don't know if you've got a plan, but if he's starting in the late teens, if he's starting in the 20s, like Brad Keselowski last week, he worked out and he led enough fast lap point, got enough fast laps and laps led and got the win at the end, but those place differential points absolutely helped. So if you can get, and that's not something we've seen in the past, but if you can get, and we're going to see that constantly because the way you can shake the field up really quickly, but if we get that where it's got to be place differential points and fast lap points, then sure, then you can pay that price. If you're getting the double package, then why not? But if you're only getting fast, well, you're really only getting laps led, It's not going to be a guarantee that they're going to get fast laps or accumulate them in an amazing fashion, in a striking fashion. Laps led, you can get a run. If you think a guy can lead two or three runs, then sure. But I don't know at this point that I can trust that anyone is going to lead two or three runs at Vegas. We don't know. As I go down the pricing, Truex at 10,100, as I talked about in the other podcast, Truex probably had the fastest car last week. Him or Kyle Busch? Don't at me. Kyle Larson, 9,800. I wrote about him in my playbook article at DraftKings. And we got a progressive banking at Vegas. We could see Larson maybe somehow finding that extra bit of speed by running up on the cushion. We have seen Kyle Larson run the top groove in the Xfinity Series and run away with the race, but we have yet to see him do that early in the season at Vegas. And I don't remember if he did that last year in the Fall Vegas race either. Not really worried about that at the moment. Blaney, fast car, restarts well. We've said before that he's great at Texas. He's great at Kansas. He's great at these full throttle, full speed tracks. Well, now the entire package is full throttle. It's wide effing open. Definitely favors Blaney's driving style. Chase Elliott at 9,200, too high with the Hendricks cars just looking terrible last week. Clinton Boyer at 9,000, he's fine. Didn't get any fast laps or laps led points, but he had probably the sixth best car in terms of running position and running laps inside the top 15. Denny Hamlin kind of disappeared fantasy-wise, but he was fine in terms of just actually racing. If this is kind of an IROC platy type race, is that what we're going to say now? Then he's definitely on board. On the board, Eric Almirola, not sure what we're going to be able to do with him. If he's not in a position where he can get positive place differential, I'm not really crazy about it. Jones at 8,400 is fine. Jones was fine last week. The thing that you have to always tell yourself is don't demand an enormous amount of place differential points from Eric Jones. I feel that sometimes we have this weird expectation for Jones to get, he needs a lot of place differential to pay off, and he doesn't necessarily need that. At 8,400 at his price, 7 place differential points and near a 5th place finish could possibly get the job done. That's not a bad target. A top 10 and 7 place differential points is not really a bad idea for Jones, but for some reason, and I don't know if it's just me, I want to say that we all kind of do this, but that would kind of write Jones off because he's starting 14th or 12th and like, I don't know if he can do it. That's not the worst spot to put him in. Kurt Busch, same situation, although he starts a little bit closer to the front and it seems like he can't be optimal, but yet we've seen him time and time again end up optimal. His restarting prowess definitely going to come into play this weekend. Jimmy Johnson, the package does not work for him. I do not have high hopes. And I imagine his ownership is going to plummet. So I guess there is some validity in rostering him for low ownership. But end of the day, I really just want to roster the good cars. I don't want to roster guys just because of low ownership. And if you've been playing that card with Jimmy Johnson, which you could have played all last year and maybe the year before, it really hasn't worked out very well for you. Ricky Stenhouse, 7,900. We'll see. This week could finally be the IROC package where Stenhouse could shine. Last week, they trimmed the car out for qualifying. They trimmed it out for less drag and didn't build it for speed in the turns. And Stenhouse sucked. Whereas his teammate Ryan Newman went the opposite and had a pretty decent car. Suarez was a top 10 car last week. Take that for what you will. We know Suarez has burned us in the past. So I hate even mentioning him. But again, $7,700 for an SHR car is pretty ridiculous. But then again, we paid some cheap prices for Suarez in a JGR car, and we know how that turned out. Of course, this package could work out for him. I don't know. Austin Dillon, 7,600. He went with the wrong setup last week. Bowman, 7,400. I don't like Hendrick, as you know. Newman's fine at 7,200. He could have, I don't want to say he's going to have a renaissance year, but this package just might work out. This might be just the right boring package and incredibly tough to pass package that suits Newman's style. Hendrick, 7,100. I like the truck, former truck driver angle. Menard, 6,900. I don't know. It's okay. DiBenedetto's dropped a little bit in price. He's okay. We probably like DiBenedetto way too quick on that one. So we'll see. William Byron, 6,600. I was disappointed. That goes against that truck angle. The guy was a really good truck driver, and I was expecting a really good race from him last week. And it's probably the car. Probably the Hendrick car, because you look across the board and Hendrick just did not have the right cars, which is nothing. I mean, if you listen to Kyle Larson this week, he said that they sandbag. They basically suck the first half of the season so that when they cheat later on, no one calls them out on it. But then they had, and then Larson had to take those comments back because NASCAR is nothing but corporate punks. They're all watered down losers anymore. Chris Busch at 6,500. I imagine that he's going to be chalk after last week's performance and his last two 15th place finishes at Las Vegas. Bubba Wallace at 6,300 is a little bit more reasonable, but he didn't look good last week. Ryan Preece looked good last week in the JTG lottery, so he also would be probably pretty popular with Buescher. Ty Dillon at 6,000. Can't really get excited about that. Dillon finished 25th, which was better than where he ran most of the race. Reagan had a good race, but he benefited. Someone emailed me, Chris emailed me, one of the guys who uses a spreadsheet, talking about, well, where Reagan ran most of the race, and he was a guy who clearly benefited from all the stupid mistakes at the end. Like, he got a spot because of Blaney. He got a spot because of Daniel Hemric. He got a spot because of Joey Logano. He got all these spots at the end and ended up finishing. He finished 16th. His average running position last week for Mr. David Reagan was 22nd. So six spots he didn't deserve. Tift, Chastain, click all these punts. You do with them whatever you want. We'll see. We're supposed to. If there is a week where the punts are going to come back to life, then this week will be that week. That's a big if. All right, let's talk about the Truck Series. And I'm going to talk. First thing I want to tell you is, so I punched in some projections into the spreadsheet. If you pay $5 at DFSnotes.com or RaceForThePrize.com, you can get any spreadsheet you want. You want the truck sheet? You want the Xfinity sheet? You want the cup sheet? $5. Buy them all or buy the whole month of March for $35. That's half price, folks. There are 12 races this month. 12 times 5 is 60. That's $60. And I'm trying... Actually, 12 times 5 is, that's 60. I think there's more than 12 races, though. There might be 13. Either way, sure, why not? Let's just say it is. What do you mean, let's say it is? 12 times 5 is 60. You can't just make up math. I know. So $60, I'm charging $35. Now, so it's not half. I get it. But it's $25 off. That's 5 free sheets. You get every single sheet for the month. And you can get some truck action, Xfinity action. If you don't want it, that's fine. Just pay $5 whenever you want to do it. Season-long thing is out there if you want to email me for it. But anyway, if you had it, you could see some of the information I've done. Some really interesting things. If you've read my Twitter account, you may know that I'm kind of leaning in an interesting direction this week for the Truck Series. And I've run a couple of things, and you can check them out in the Vegas Truck Sheet. Again, that's at race4, the number 4, theprize.com or dfsnotes.com. That'll give you my Venmo or my PayPal account, and you just send the money over to me, and I send you access to the spreadsheet. So anyway, I punched in some projections. You can look at it, and for an early week projection, they're not bad. My laps led projections, not bad. Actually, I'm pretty liberal with it, and the numbers, again, I'm not paying, I'm not selling. I might as well go ahead and tell. Should I tell you? I don't know if I should. I mean, I'm not selling projections. I'm just putting these in to run my own thing. But let me just tell you one thing, folks. So let me give you this. Just say it already. I give Kyle Busch first place. And I'm giving him 25 hog points, which is a lot for the way this Vegas Vegas track races in the trucks. I'm giving him 25 hog points. That's more than he earned in the spring. That's more than the number one hog earned in the fall. 25. The way this track races, like an IROC, drafting, I don't believe the number one hog is going to have more points than that. But I gave him 25 nonetheless because I wanted to be pretty liberal. I wanted to push it to the extreme to get a pretty good result. And I gave him a first place finish. And then, I spread some hog points throughout because obviously 25 is not the most. And technically, we're going to have about 80 of them spread throughout the racetrack. So I gave Sauter and Moffitt and Friesen and Rhodes and Crafton and Burton and gave a little scraps here to Gillen and gave some to Enfinger. And so that's what that was. And I put the positions and they're pretty on, and then I ran the optimizer, and as I suspected, Kyle Busch at 15,500 ain't gonna work. It's not gonna work, folks. He will have to lead more. Now, if he gets 25 hog points and 10 place differential points, then sure, it will probably work. But the 25 hog points, you could say that that's 15 hog points, which is a very very good serving of hog points. That's very fair. 15 hog points in this Vegas race in the Truck Series. That's good. 25 is outrageous. I wanted to push it. So what you could say is, hey, well, you're giving him, I don't know, 15 hog points and 10 place differential points there. However you want to slice it. Either way, with those points, I got him at 71 fantasy points. That's pretty good. If I look at last year and I look at the top point total from, let me just go through them all. Number one fantasy points last year in the fall, 67, 67, 69. I got 101 from Tyler Reddick, but I don't know if that might have been a package issue. I would like to see how that one exactly worked out. 59, obviously if the 101 comes up, that messes everything up. And then 87 from Eric Jones. But I don't know if, I mean, you're going back in time where the trucks might have raced a little bit different in those races. But last year, the races were definitely cases where you're not going to see one guy run away with it. I don't know. Let's we'll see. We'll have to go back. I mean, if the races run like that, then the whole theory is out the window and you're saying, then you've blown your money listening to me. That's fine. You may not want to go 100% against Kyle Busch. But if the race runs like they did last year, then 67 points is probably your max. And I'm giving Kyle Busch 71 points. And at 71 points, and I run the optimizer, guess what, folks? He's not in the optimal lineup. Run the optimizer, as I suspected, 71. He's not in the optimal lineup. And if you want to know who is, obviously, you'll want to go to dfsnotes.com. dfsnotes.com, racefortheprize.com, send the $5 and you'll see what it spit out. These numbers are going to change as we get starting positions. And there's enough value. It's not a situation where, well, there's no value this week. That's why I can't. There's a couple $6,000 drivers that are interesting and decent plays. You may even be able to swing your way on a $5,000. I don't know. The $5,000 seems a little ridiculous. $7,000. There's enough value on the board right now. It could change when we see starting position. But there's enough savings to get Kyle Busch in your lineup. But it doesn't seem like he's optimal. He's got to score. Let's play around with it. Let's give him 35. That pushes him up to 81 fantasy points. 81 fantasy points. Do you think that he will end up in the optimal lineup? That's a question you got to ask yourself. I'm going to stick with the answer is no. But we shall see. Now, while that runs, let me give you a quick couple notes here on the truck race while I was looking at the entry list. It looks like Angel LaRouche will be in the race in the number 8 for Joe Nemechek. She is not in the player pool yet at DraftKings, but as we saw last week, they are willing to add people after the fact. So keep your eye on Angel LaRouche. What else do I have here? Josh Rayom. That's right. It's Josh Rayom. I finally figured it out. It's not Josh Room. It's not Josh Rome or Josh Ream. It's Josh Rayom. He's Canadian. And that's a big deal. You need to be able to say the names. That was bothering me because it bothers me when other people can't say the names. And people always say, well, they give some sort of nonchalant comment like, well, it doesn't mean anything that I can't say his name. Yes, it does. It means that you're not watching the games. It means that you're not really paying attention to a lot of the analysis. You're not watching the games, obviously. You're not watching the analysis shows. You're just reading information off of a box score. I can read information off a box score. Why am I listening to you give a podcast? So when I say Josh Rayom's name wrong, then people should call me out. I'm frustrated with myself, and I know I watched the races, but and I talked about, well, Josh Rayom's the guy that wrecked, that caused the beginning of the end at Atlanta in 2018. But the fact that I can't tell you his name is I'm not paying enough attention. Now, the argument there that should be stated is I didn't analyze the trucks in the past. I watched them for funsies. I wasn't claiming to be a truck expert, and I'm still not claiming to be a truck expert. And that's why I really like doing the trucks, because it's a learning experience. So I'm not really beating myself up a lot about the Rayom thing, but it was bothering me enough that I finally looked it up because it's professional. And I know I'm not a professional podcaster, but it drives me crazy when I hear other podcasts, these guys just butcher names and like, oh, it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal because it doesn't mean that you're that invested, that you would, like, when I hear that listening to a podcast, it clues me in like, I don't know if this guy knows what he's talking about. Maybe he's just reading box scores. And so when I say Josh Rheaume, I think to myself, they probably think I'm just watching box scores. They may not believe that I'm watching these YouTube videos at 2x. And it's really hard to get somebody's name right when you're watching at 2x. Josh Rheaume. It's very hard to do that. But I'm committed and I'm devoted to this. But it's hard to make people know that when you can't say the guy's name or you're unwilling to look it up. It doesn't take that long. Sure, you got to Google through a couple pronunciations and you may have to watch a couple highlight videos, but you can do it and you can write it down if you're really invested or dedicated to what you're doing. If you're lazy, then you don't do that. And if you're lazy, then you're probably not doing the research and you're probably just reading people's box scores. And that's just the facts. And it's embarrassing to me when I get a name wrong. And I know I'm not a professional broadcaster, but I know how it looks. And I know the work that I put in. And it is foolish for me to say, to allow people to believe that I'm not putting in work. And so I hold the other people to that same standard. If you're really working hard and you're putting in all this work, then you should probably understand that if you say the name wrong, then probably people are not going to believe that you're working hard. And you're going to have to go the extra mile to prove that you are putting in the work. That's just the way, especially if you're selling stuff, which I'm selling a spreadsheet. I'm not selling the podcast, though. Even though you don't really need to know how to say the names to put together a helpful spreadsheet at raceforthepride.com. Anyway, that was the Josh Rheaume rant. But you got to know the names. You got to know. I remember playing video games with kids. I remember, this is still haunts me, the stupid stuff that haunts you from grade school. So I said Edgar and James when we were playing Madden with my friends. I was probably 8th grade. No, see, this was probably 10th. No, it was 11th grade, I imagine. And I had kind of stepped away from sports for a while to play guitar and to chase girls. And the chase girls things didn't happen. And I thought playing guitar would work. And it clearly doesn't work. Just a little bit of advice. Girls don't care if you play guitar. It's just the facts. They care about rock stars who play guitar. Maybe not even more, but they don't care about you playing guitar in your garage. Learning to play guitar does not help you. It does not. It's stupid. You've got a better chance getting good grades. You've got a better chance of impressing girls by playing sports. You've got a better chance just by being a decent person. But being a smart aleck and playing guitar, bad choices, does not work. Anyway, so I have been playing guitar and kind of got out of sports and then got back into it. And we were playing Madden, and I said Edgar and James. And man, my friends were relentless and brutal, making fun of me. It's Edrin, you moron, and just give him and bullied me to the fact that I still remember this day, that moment, and thinking, oh, no. So get the names right, folks. Get the names right. Who we got in the Beaver Motorsports car? It has been at Starton Park in 2018. Just before I go into the crunch here, folks. Who was that? Is in, you're like, yeah, please, you got to tell us who's in. Oh, and by the way, Josh Rheaume is in the Mr. Beast car. Mr. Beast is a YouTuber, apparently. A YouTuber is sponsoring a truck. That's, I don't know. I don't understand the YouTube thing and how people make a bunch of money. I know they do make a bunch of money, and it's a big deal. But it probably doesn't take that much to sponsor a truck anyway. Okay, so Stephan Parsons, which would be Phil Parsons' son, the broadcaster, former owner. I think he raced a little bit. Benny Parsons' grandson. He is racing in for Beaver Motorsports. And when I look at and Tracy Lowe, they start in Park last year. They have not raced a race this season. That is a risky sell. You see the name, you think, well, of course, the Stephan Parsons is going to, the kid's going to get a real race. He wouldn't go out to Las Vegas if they're not going to try to run it. And but the thing is, the Beaver Motorsports started parked everything last year, and they haven't run a race this year. Big question mark. We'll see in practice if they turn a decent amount of laps, then maybe we can believe in them. I don't know. What else do I got notes-wise? Reed Wilson is replacing Ross Chastain in the Nice Motorsports car, and you're getting him at a cheap price. He's definitely going to be an interesting play, probably chalky with an expensive Kyle Busch. Reed Wilson, I imagine, will be popular. He hasn't really done anything, and I believe his best performance was at Martinsville, which, and I think that's the only race that he finished. And Martinsville isn't Las Vegas. These are very different tracks. But they've got to have some sort of faith in him, unless, of course, he is paying for this ride, which, again, that could be the case. But he's definitely, if you're looking for a good truck that's affordable, then that's a place to look. We got Cop. Who's running for DJ Cop? DJ Cop is going to have, because this is another Cop starting parked at Atlanta. So he ran, Cop's team ran at Daytona, which is not a surprise. Scott Stenzel is in the car this week. But then last week, Timothy Hill ran. And Timothy Hill is kind of the guy that they put into vehicles. They're at the racetrack, and they realize, well, we're not going to run, but we've qualified for the race. So go find me a race car driver who will go turn two laps and park it. And Tim Hill seems to be the guy who's just hanging out at the racetrack, doing all the series. Like, oh, yeah, I'll park the thing for you. And you look at last week at Atlanta, that's what Tim Hill did for DJ Cop. And if you look closely, you'll notice that they didn't have a sponsor. So that makes sense. Now, if you look this week with Scott Stenzel, you think, well, this is Scott Stenzel. He's already marked in. But again, they don't have a sponsor. I would be leery of rostering this team, given that they didn't have a sponsor last week. They parked. Don't have a sponsor this week. May not park as well. Anybody else that I'm going to go real quickly over. Those are kind of the guys that you may like be scratching your head wondering about. Iwuji is a young African-American driver. I believe he's been in the K&N series, maybe done some of the modified. He's going to jump in a second car for not a strong team. Who is Iwuji jumping in for? And I don't even know who I'm saying. I'm probably saying that one wrong, too. This guy doesn't watch the races. And Josh Rayom, of all people. Gosh, come on. Josh Rayom, can you get some guys on your teams with names that I can pronounce? And I know the guy. I believe he's run a couple truck races, but I want to say it's mainly K&N is where he's run. I believe he was part of NASCAR Next at one point. No, there's no going back. You already messed up his name. Don't try to act like you know who he is. And you're right. I'll have to look this one up in a little bit. I should play the enunciation video right here on here. Pronunciation video. Who else jumps out? Ray Ciccarelli's parked. Jennifer Jo Cobb actually got a decent finish last week by surviving. Norm Benning, no way. Corey Roper's going to be really popular again. Nag Decker looked terrible. Who knows? One more week under her belt. Jordan Anderson is Jordan Anderson. Spencer Boyd is running for... I got to start memorizing these. Spencer Boyd is at Young Motorsports, which is not a bad team. Yes, he's running for Young's Motorsports. Worth an interesting thought. Gus Dean, I believe, is also for... Got to look it up. Young's Motorsports, and he's another guy who actually halfway decent. Yes, he's also for... I mean, I feel like if it's a guy that's cheap and you don't really know who he is, then it's definitely Young's Motorsports. Austin Wayne Self's running for his own real team, Tim Self, and they ran well, but they got caught up in a wreck late at the end of the race last week. Tyler Dipple is, I believe, Young's Motorsports. We'll double check. Again, the rule seems to be if you're not sure what the guys do, then it's, yep, he's for Young's Motorsports. Young's got all these guys that you're not sure of. Anthony Alfredo is with DGC. Brennan Poole, is Poole running for DGC? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's DGC. Timothy Peters is Nice Motorsports. Ryan Reed is with DGC. Let me double check. No, because I think Poole is with On Point. I'm pretty sure Poole is with On Point Motorsports. Yeah, Stephen Lane and On Point Motorsports. So, anyway, let's look at the optimal. That's what you've been waiting for anyway. But those, I mean, I think that little bit of random information there with the unknown drivers should help you out with your NASCAR teams this weekend, at least in the truck series. I think the cup information was helpful too. So, the new optimal lineup, after I recrunch it, same lineup. All right, I hear you. Amp it up. Give him more. All right, 81 points is not enough. We are going to give Kyle Busch 91 fantasy points. 91. Will he finally end up in the optimal lineup? Look, 71, he didn't make it. 81, he didn't make it. We've got him at 91 fantasy points. Now, 15,500, guys, that's still not like the greatest point per dollar. Is that even 5X? I don't even know if that's 5X. Let me do the math on that. 91 divided by 15.5, or 9, 91 divided by 15.5 equals 5.87. So it is 5x, but 5.87 is not the greatest point per dollar return. We'll see. Is he finally going to break in here at 5.8? Because, I mean, when he had 81, that was probably about 5x, and 71 was below 5x, and I don't know. So we've had times where a punt has come in under 5x just because he gave you the savings, and the guys at the top scored monster numbers. But we've never seen the number one score. All right, finally, he ends up in the optimal lineup, but he also ends up in an optimal lineup with Jennifer Jocobb. Jennifer, and that's a very forgiving and liberal points for Jennifer Jocobb. I've got her finishing 22nd, I think, and I'm giving her 22 fantasy points. That's a pretty good total for JJ. That's happening anyway. If you are going to roster Kyle Busch, and that's with, I'm giving away the lineup. He's giving away the lineup. That's with Reed Wilson and Corey Roper in your lineup. Wilson, Roper, and Cobb. Boy, that feels dirty. That's what you're going to have to do if you want to roster Kyle Busch, folks. And he's got to get 91 points on top of that, which is a lot of laps led points and fast lap points for the way Vegas races. Clearly, we'll have a good idea, though, tonight. I'm going to get some of those lap-by-lap totals. We'll see. Wait a second. These cars are pretty even. If the cars are pretty even, it'll be very hard to believe that Kyle Busch is going to pull away from the pack and put 91 points on the board. That's a big-time total. This is valuable information. Valuable information. I cannot believe that my truck spreadsheet is not the number one seller. Maybe you're like, well, dude, you gave away all the picks in the podcast. I didn't give away any of the picks. All I told you was who not to play. Who will you play? Who will be the cars that are evenly matched? Check it out in the lap-by-lap data. Man, big racing weekend. I'll try to get you another podcast tomorrow.